Chapter 1 Miranda's Journal Cosmic Journeys and Machu Picchu. When I was a little girl, I was fascinated with the title From Here to Eternity, little knowing I'd grow up to take a journey that would actualize those words and outshine the original story connected with them. There wasn't much that could be considered unusual about my childhood, so anything out of the ordinary drew me, just like my friend Opal. The only girl I was closer to was my younger sister, Jackie. Opal was a prodigy, and more. At times, she seemed part spirit, part human. She saw her surroundings differently than most people do. Opal had visions and dreams, and then she drew and painted them. Her paintings would take your breath away, take you to other realms. Opal disappeared when she was 15. She was with her boyfriend Leroy over on the coast in Del Norte, and then three people showed up, nasty pieces of work who had given her trouble before. When they threatened to harm Leroy, Opal froze them in their places by leaping from the cliffs high above the rocky shore of the Pacific. No one could have survived such a leap, and it was a mystery to everyone why she did such a brave, desperate thing. To add to the mystery, her body was never found. Leroy claimed that her body never fell to the rocks at all, but dissolved into tiny silver fragments and then disappeared into thin air. People said he went a little off in his head. I have my own opinions, though. If anyone possessed that kind of magic, it was Opal. As for Leroy, it's understandable that he took it hard for a while, quite a while. Occasionally, news about Leroy came our way, and then, all of a sudden, he left Elizabeth Dean's land in Sonoma, where he had stayed for a while, and we lost track of him. Throughout the years, I wondered about him nearly every day. Opal's passing really hit me hard, too. About 3 months after it happened, my mom, Jackie and I visited Opal's mother, Mary Courtright. It was at the edge of winter, and we sat in the dining room for tea, where a cozy fire blazed. We talked about Opal and about recent news that her harassers had finally surfaced in a fatal car crash up north. To hear her mom talk about her really reopened the wound. When Mary noticed my tears, she paused. "Look, Miranda," she said, "I'm going to share something with you three that will help, but I ask that you keep this to yourselves. Kevin and I don't want it generally known." Mary disappeared around the corner into her office. She returned with a long, thick envelope and removed several folded sheets of paper, a long letter. First, she read it aloud, and then passed it around for us to look at. Afterward, she took us down the hall into Opal's bedroom. She showed us a piece of black paper taped to the wall above Opal's desk. It had a white symbol on it, exactly the same symbol that was drawn at the bottom of this fellow's letter, this Branicor de Lamartine. Mr. de Lamartine stated that Opal had shifted into a higher dimensional form and had become one with her higher self. He said that as Sappho, she was developing her abilities to communicate with us and was concerned about us. He confirmed the authenticity of his letter with the symbol that would be known to no one except Kevin, Mary, and Leroy. Mary was right to share the letter. It really helped me settle down and try to better understand what might have happened. I started to give more credence to Leroy's account, too. Opal would have been 18 now, like me. I've just completed my finals. With graduation a few days away, I finally have time to gather all the scraps of paper that have my scribbled notes about happenings and insights. So begins this journal. After Opal was gone, I started to sense changes in myself. To begin with, I'd wake up in the morning knowing that my dreams had been out of the ordinary and that Opal had appeared in them, but all I could recall was their unusual nature. The aura would stay with me throughout the day. Also, there seemed to be a connection between the dreams and intuitive certainties that developed. I paid more attention to hunches and acted on them. I read more into the inner characters of people, and this guided my responses to them. Those developments were enough to prompt another visit with Mary Courtwright on my own. She allowed me, after quite an emotional and uplifting conversation, to make a photocopy of the letter from Branicore, right there on her home office copy machine. I believe that that copy in my possession further enhanced my connection with Opal. It's not so much that I had mental conversations with her, but when I had need of help to work through given circumstances, there was a certain centering and then a clarifying that I find hard to describe. When the pages of my copy showed creases and wear from frequent handling, I realized that Branicore's words had become embedded in my memory. Eventually, I had the pages laminated to preserve them. My school studies took a different direction. I'd been a satisfactory student. My grades hovered between B's and C's.